G'day folks, Vossi and Brandy here. A reminder, we are on air between 6 and 9 weekdays right here on the home of sport, 1170 SEN in Sydney. And we have our segment Throwback Thursday. Brandy, what about our latest guest?
Well, we've had some great names come up on Throwback Thursday, Vossi, but I think this one might be the most popular because everyone loves this man and they have done since he debuted for Australia playing Test cricket in 1965. It is the one and only Doug Walters.
On Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, Throwback Thursday.
Doug Walters, 97. Here's the last ball of the day's play. He's hit it, could be four. Magnificent shot. It's out to the boundary. A six, was it? A six. Walters, 103. What a fantastic finish. One of the greatest finishes we've ever seen to a day's play in Australian Test cricket. Doug Walters, 100 in the session. He hit the last ball of the day's play for six. And he's on to 103.
The legend Doug Walters, 74 Test matches for Australia, over 5,000 runs, 1,500s, top scorer 250, Test centuries in first and second Test. Test century on debut and a big one. Can you believe it? That moment we've just replayed was from 50 years ago, 1974. Doug Walters is our very, very special guest. Welcome to Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, Doug.
G'day, Vossi. How are you, mate? Brandy, good to be with you.
Dougie, oh, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, we're going to get to a little family feud story that Brandy revealed after 6 o'clock. I don't know whether you remember it, but probably not the biggest moment in your life, but we'll get to that a little later. For everyone tuned in right now, how's the health? Doug, how are you keeping, mate?
Yeah, I'm going okay. I'm still getting around. That's the main thing, isn't it? I'm not as quick as I used to be, but I'm still moving.
The you're always like the punt. Are you actively playing any sports, Doug? Are you a bit of golf or anything like that on your daily routine?
Well, not daily, but weekly. I'm a golfer, a golfer of a sort. I'm more of a hacker than a golfer, but I'd have a little bit of fun at Pennant Hills Golf Club most Saturdays.
Now, when you're out on the golf course, that's a pretty course. Now, when you're out on the golf course, and we just played that clip and from of many moments in your great career, I mean, how many times do you think you've been asked about that, and we're going to add to it, that century in the session? And it is now 50 years ago, Doug. Sorry to bring that up, but it is five decades ago. How many times do you reckon you get asked about that?
Yeah, quite often. I do say occasionally, which one are you talking about? I know which one they're talking about, but that's the one that people remember most. And I guess that was my day. I mean, I never gave the bowlers a lot of credit, but on that day they aimed at the middle of the bat and hit it more often than normal.
Dougie, you're an all-rounder, but as, growing up and when you were playing cricket out in the country before you got to New South Wales and your first game for New South Wales was 1962. Were you a better bat or a better bowler? What was your strength as a kid growing up?
Yeah, very much a bowler. I didn't know I could bat really until I'd started playing for New South Wales. Really, I thought I was a bowler that batted a bit, and. My second game for New South Wales, I got none for 128. And I thought I'd better start concentrating a bit harder on this batting caper. So that was it. But all my junior cricket, I mean, I opened the bowling and with two beach balls and pretty ordinary wicket sometimes. We only had to chase about 16 or 17. And I batted number eight, so I didn't get too many hits.
Yeah, right. Wow. So your Test debut at the Gabba, you score 155. So you've turned it around pretty quickly. And that was 1965. So you get down to New South Wales. You didn't know you're a batter. You're an opening bowler. You figured yourself as a bowler. But 3 years later, you make your debut for Australia, and you score 155 in your first Test. Like that's pretty quickly. You're getting the hang of it pretty quickly, Doug.
Yeah, some people thought I should have batted up a little bit higher than number eight as a kid, but anyway, I had fun as a bowler, but the batting was a far easier thing than bowling, I can tell you that.
And do you remember much about that innings at the Gabba?
I remember it as if it was yesterday.
How good.
Yeah, that was the second highlight. I mean, the highlight of my life was just getting selected or getting the baggy green cap.
Yep.
To score 100 in my first test was just an added bonus, really.
Well, these days they have the big presentation and someone speaks about you and you presented your baggy green. What did they do back in 1965? Was there any sort of ceremony around getting the baggy green?
Well, I still do a lot of coaching with the kids, and the kids ask me who presented me with my baggy green, and yeah. I tell them the postman. I said, well, I got it out of the letterbox, so it must have been the postman.
Definitely.
No, there was no great ceremonies in those days, no.
No.
Wow. Dougie, I hope you don't mind me saying, I'm a bit nervous about this interview because I am still a fanboy. Had you as an idol, had your posters up, bought the book, One for the Road and all of that. Oh, I think I've got your autograph a few times, Doug, back in the day. But longevity was part of it. There's an innings I remember, you batting with Jim Higgs. Now, Jim was, I've got to say, it was
not
pretty ordinary, number 11. No. But he hung around long enough. Was it New Zealand you were playing? Do you remember that innings where you had a bloke at the other end who dead set was struggling, but somehow you got through? Remember that day?
Yeah. Yeah. He was the worst batsman I ever saw. He just couldn't bat at all. I think I was in the 60s when he came in to bat, in the last wicket, of course, and... He hung around until I was the one that got out for 107, and I went charging off the ground, and Higgsy chased me. He said, I've done the right thing by you. He said, you could have stuck around till I got mine. Well,
great line.
Higgsy was as close as he ever got to getting 100 in any form of cricket, even. Backyard cricket or side veranda cricket or any form of cricket, he was not out two that day.
Two. Well, it's Dilip Dosh areas with a bat. Yeah.
You know, he never owned a cricket bat or a pair of gloves or pads or anything like that. He would rock up to a test match carrying two glad bags, and that was his nickname, glad bags. He'd have his creams and his shirts in one and his boots and his socks in the other one. And that was his kit bag.
He borrowed a bat. Borrowed bats. Wow.
He used to borrow the bat and pads and everything. I mean, it was so bad, even at practice, he didn't, because he had no gear, we didn't bowl at him or nothing. But, so he was never going to get any better. But we went to England in 77, and he turned up with a bat that he'd borrowed. Well, he'd knocked off out of the club cricket kit. And he reckoned he only took it over to England and knock it in for him. Well, he come back after that tour and slipped it back into the Richmond District Cricket Club kit bag and didn't even have a red mark on the edge. And it was a brand new bat he'd taken over there. He went away for 4.5 months. Mm. And he didn't even score one run on the whole tour, nor did he look like scoring one run on the whole tour.
Well, wow. That's it. Jim Higgs, we're just writing that down. Jim Higgs, the worst batsman ever. Now, something I don't reckon young blokes and young kids, if you talk to them, Doug, would be able to get their heads around. The fact that you were denied an opportunity to tour South Africa in 66, 67 when you were conscripted to 2 years of national service training. So was there no test cricket during those years for you?
No. Well, I saved all my leave in the first year to play a couple of Shield matches and hopefully a test match the following year to get onto a tour to England in 68, which I did. Yep. And I did play two test matches while I was in national service in the second year.
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. And then you lined up against the West Indies, and you averaged during that series against the West Indies, you averaged 116. Yeah, you hit 700 runs. Bradman like average. Who did the West? Who were the bowlers in the West Indies in that series? Was Wes Hall playing?
Yeah, Wes Hall and Charlie Griffith, Gary Sobers, Glance Gibbs. They still had a pretty good side, but
for some reason,
I don't know why, but there are a lot of other countries I'd rather face than the West Indies. But my averages against the West Indies are far better than they were against any other country.
Yeah, well, on the text line, Dougie, Mark says, tell Dougie, London, Paris, New York, Dungog. That's the text. Phil said, Dougie was my hero, and I never forgot the day I got a pair of gloves signed by him in 1966. Look, you've left indelible marks. Now, part of the Doug Walters legend is the card playing, Dougie. How much is truth and how much is legend? Like, was there seriously... You were playing a game of cards and wickets were tumbling and you put the cards down and said you had to go out to bat and you said, keep them there, I'll be back in a minute. Now, is that legend or truth, Doug?
Well, yeah, the cigarettes more so than the cards. I mean, I was always playing cards or doing crossword puzzles or something before, even if there was no one else wanting to play cards, I'd be playing Patience by myself. But the cigarettes were in my smoking days, mind you. It's 15 years since I had a cigarette now, and that's probably the reason why I'm still feeling so good.
Good man.
It was a fact of life, really, because a batsman never got out when you were putting one in the ashtray. They always got out when you were just lighting one up. It happened so many times. I'd had one puff out of it, and I'd leave it in the ashtray and say, "Don't put it out. I could be back to finish it." Well, if you say it, often enough, you will come back to finish it. And I got back several times to have a puff before it went out.
What a story! Dougie,
I've listened to you tell stories, and I was only telling Vossie, and you probably don't remember it, but a night in Brisbane, I was up there with a few league, we're up there to film Family Feud, and I said we went back to the hotel, and there was me and Mal, and we sat down and we had an all night drinking session with you. And I'll never forget it. It was one of my great nights. But do you still go out and do the circuit? Do you go to clubs and talk, and you're still doing that?
Yeah, I'm still out there. I'm not as frequent as it once was before COVID. COVID certainly quietened things down, but no, I'm still available. I'm still out there.
Good.
Doing a few of those. I do remember that, Brandy, and I actually remember you coming here one time, and was still in your playing days.
Yep.
I know it was very much taboo about drinking alcohol, or to be seen drinking alcohol anywhere from those days. But you called in here with a couple of other guys, and one of my mates, those days, my great mate Bruce Carter, probably brought you here.
Yeah, all right.
But we did sneak a couple of beers in that day.
A couple. Now, here's a story on the text. Brandy, Dougie, this is on the text. It's come through, Doug. People reacting like you wouldn't believe here, Doug, that you're our Throwback Thursday guest. This one. Hi, boys. I met Doug when he saved a lost dog down the coast and brought it back to Sydney, and we met up at his house to look after the dog. I told Doug he was my dad's hero, so he said, bring your dad around for a beer when the cricket's on next week. A week later, my dad and I sat and watched a one day with Doug on his back veranda drinking beers. He had a trick where you tell Doug the answer to the question under the Tui's twist-top lid, and Doug would tell you the question. Dougie signed a bat for my dad's 60th birthday, and it's framed and up on the wall along with a few photos from that day. Absolute legend. Cheers, Jack's dad. Do you remember that story, Doug? Is that true? Obviously, yeah, true.
Well, that's pretty much true. But it was my son that used to bring the dogs home. He still does. If he sees a stray dog somewhere, he'll bring it. And when he was living here, of course, he used to bring them back here, and that was it. Yeah, I do remember those incidents, and more than once it happened. But as far as the bottle tops are concerned, yeah, that was what Bruce Carter and myself thought. We had to drink to increase our knowledge.
It's a good excuse.
Well, try it more.
Good excuse. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. This one now from Richard here. Remember as a teenager following Doug Walters around Bathurst to each pub as Doug was the Tui's ambassador. And wherever he was, it was free beer. Doug shout. We had a cracking afternoon and he was awesome company amongst the punters and approachable, brilliant. Doug, we said at the top of the program, a badge of honour in Australia, in Australian sport, is if you finish your career and people say, I'd really love to have a beer with that bloke. Do you realise the love and adulation? Like, no one has a bad word for you, Doug. Do you appreciate just how popular you are? Does that ever hit home to you?
Well, yeah, I do appreciate it, and I don't go out of my way to do that. But for some reason, that happens, and I'm very grateful to all those people that do that. And anyone wants to have a beer with me, they certainly can. We're having a golf day. The Doug Walters Foundation, we've resurrected the Doug Walters Sport Foundation, which raises money for junior cricket primarily throughout New South Wales. Mm-hmm. And we're having a golf day to raise some funds at Muirfield Golf Club on the 23rd of August. Anyone okay. that would like to come along and have a game of golf and listen to a few stories perhaps after, very welcome. They can look at the Doug Walters website through Australian Sport Foundation. Go down and find the Doug Walters page, and
good
you'll
stuff.
Learn all about it. They're also building a statue, believe it or not, in my honour in Dungog. So part of that golf day will go towards funding that particular monument.
Very
that
good.
They're building.
I'll be looking at that, looking to play a game of golf. I might see you out there, Dougie. Sounds good to me. We've been talking sporting heroes because you were coming on, Doug. Who was your sporting hero? Vossie and I said, well, you know, we idolised you and others, but who were your sporting heroes?
Well, because I had an elder brother and an elder sister, my choices wasn't Australia. I mean, I had to be England or the West Indies or India or whoever we were playing at the time, because they were always Australia.
Yeah.
So my sporting heroes were people from overseas, like Gary Sobers, and I ended up playing against a lot of these guys that were my sporting heroes.
Yeah.
But Richie Beno, certainly from the Australian point of view, was there, because I moved to Sydney in 1963 and came to play with Central Cumberland, as it was in those days, cricket club, and Richie was still active. He was captain of the club, and he really became my second father in many ways.
Mm, wow. Doug, we'd probably bore you with all the feedback we're getting. Jeff on the text has said, this is the greatest half-hour radio in the history of radio. The people are just love hearing your yarns. People saying, hi, boys, listening to Doug gives me goosebumps. Great stories, great man. Doug, again, you're loved by everyone. What you achieved deserves that adulation, but we're so happy that you're keeping well. You're playing golf. You're probably having a few bets here and there. You're living your best life, Doug. It has been an absolute honour and privilege to have you on the program this morning.
It's my pleasure, Vossie. It's great to listen to you, both of you blokes on the telly. So keep up the great work yourselves.
Yeah, we're working a bit too much together, actually, Doug. That's an issue, man. I'm seeing a bit too much of Brandy. But anyway, we appreciate it, mate. Doug Walters, living legend. Thanks, mate.